Well, hello and welcome. This is the Sunday Night Supporters Club podcast on the 1st of September, 2024. Autumn. We're in autumn now, apparently, and it doesn't feel like it. Still feels very much like summer, although I'm certainly seeing some signs of some autumnal trees and items like that out and about. So, you know, we are there. We are there. And I'm kind of glad in summer. I feel this summer has just been such a washout that I'm kind of glad to get on into autumn. And we expect things to be a little cooler, a little worse weather. So it's not going to come so disappointing when we get bad weather. That being said, next Saturday, I'm hoping for some dry weather. I'm off up to Mount Snowdon climbing. Well, I'm going on Friday. And climbing Mount Snowdon with the Bearded Growers as part of our charity thing in order to raise money for kids' school gardening. So climbing up Mount Snowdon and then come back down Saturday afternoon, have a bit of a chill out time. I might start driving back Saturday afternoon and then home on Sunday. And then lots going on, as I've said. But yeah, I'm looking forward to spending some time with some gardening friends. Now, a few things I want to talk about tonight. First of all, a few things that we can be doing throughout September. So I've obviously written this list on the back of your newspaper, mini newspaper that comes with your seed list, or seeds of the month. I'm struggling with my words today. Don't forget, this is a tick list. So I've designed this that when you complete a job, you can tick it off. I do think it's getting a struggle to fit everything in onto a four-page book, so I might have to add another four pages or something. So what have we got? First of all, harvest any remaining summer crops like tomatoes, cucumbers, courgettes. Obviously, that's going to be very weather-dependent. We can have good weather right up until into October, and these plants can still be growing well. But it's a case of keeping an eye on the weather and knowing your local conditions as to whether you need to remove all these plants. Certainly cucumbers are coming to the end here and they will be out, but tomatoes are really got going. Got lots of tomatoes to harvest. We've got lots in the freezer as well, but they're definitely one thing that I recommend that we try and harvest as many as possible and clear them away. Courgettes this year has just been a disaster, so we haven't had any courgettes. Clear out spent plants and compost those. Obviously, weeds and the tomato plants that once they've all been removed, all the fruit is removed, we want to compost those. Composting, very important, of course. We need that extra compost material to make as much compost as possible. Hardy greens, we're going to sow some hardy greens, spinach, kale, winter lettuce. So plenty of those. We're going to plant garlic and onion, of course, and sets and things like that. Ready for next year's harvest. Turn over any compost heaps. I use a pitchfork, but there's a number of tools we could use. Just a simple fork will work, just to get some air into the mix, which helps it rot down a little bit better. We also need to protect some crops from early frosts with cloches or fleeces, EnviroMesh and things like that. Something I need to do actually myself and make sure our cloches and things like that are ready to go. Collect any seeds, beans, peas, and any other plants like that. The only ones I don't recommend we save seeds from would be the cucurbit families, cucumbers and courgettes, because they're very promiscuous. You can end up having something completely different. So courgette, the seed you take from it ends up growing into pumpkins. What else have we got? We want to mulch our empty beds and sow green manures. I haven't actually put green manures on that, but mulch empty beds, suppress weeds, retain moisture, and begin planting our spring bulbs, daffodils and tulips, into pots or unused spaces. Something I'm doing at the moment as well, going to be doing throughout this week. Now, yesterday, this is a slight topic deviation. Yesterday, I was sat at our table and I went down a bit of a rabbit hole. I potted up my carnivorous plants into bigger pots, and I like carnivorous plants because I think they're great for dealing with quite a few of the problems that we may have in terms of flies and things. So I just put them up into a bigger space, and then it got me wondering how could I end up propagating or getting more of these plants from them? So I started watching a few YouTube videos to try and figure out how we could do it. And I figured actually it's very easy to split all these plants into smaller and smaller plants. And that way we should end up with quite a few of these plants. And that was just a carnivorous. Basically what I mean is we take them out of the pot in the spring, we go through and remove or split apart all the rhizomes. So every little cluster is an individual plant. So it looks like there's a pot of one plant could end up growing into 20 plants quite easily, or splitting into 20 plants. And the way that they grow, they produce more and more and more. They actually propagate through rhizomes. They do produce seed as well, but they propagate through rhizomes. Now this got me on to the other rabbit warren of propagation, many other plants. Now I do grow quite a few plants from seed. I take cuttings as well. And layering is another method that I like to do. And I'm sure all these don't need much information, but seeds, very easy. We sow the seed, they grow into a plant. Cuttings, we take a cutting, cut off a bush, remove some lower leaves, dip in some rooting hormone, and we pop that into some soil or even some water. I actually found my Sichuan pepper tree in the strong winds. The top had snapped on that. And so I cut that off, tidied the tree up. But I kept that and I've made or taken cuttings for 3 more Sichuan pepper trees. Hopefully we're going to get those out of it, but fingers crossed, we're keeping a close eye and see what happens. Then layering is certain plants, not all plants, but layering blackberry plants are a good example. I take a branch, I feed it through the bottom of a flower pot, and then I fill that flower pot up with compost to secure the flower pot, and I wait for it to root. Very easy, something I do quite often with currants, blackberries, just to name a few. But this other things I was looking at, I've got a vanilla orchid, that I bought earlier this year, and I've had to pop that up again this weekend, and I started watching a bit more about how to grow vanilla orchids. I've got a good idea how to grow many of these plants, but I always like to just to do a bit more research and see how it's done. And it was a lot of them from more hotter countries were telling us how to propagate them, how to divide them, how to grow them. So it was quite interesting going down this rabbit hole. And I came away really enthused to grow this, vanilla orchid. I'm really struggling my words today, sorry. But I'm really enthused to grow this vanilla orchid. And it probably take 5 years before it produces any vanilla pods. But I'm excited for it. And best of all, it looks like I can actually turn it into several more plants as well in time, which would be good because one plant cost me 30 quid. So if I can get more out of it, that's money as far as I'm concerned in my bank. And added to that, vanilla, the second most expensive spice after saffron. And we grow saffron. So, you know, a lot going on here. A lot is happening. But I was intrigued, and this is a joy I find, that we live in a world now, social media, YouTube, where we can literally search for a topic and somebody will have the information on it. Years and years ago, I don't think that was possible. It would be libraries and word of mouth and organisations to try and get the information, which might take days. And now, in minutes. It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. But yeah, the vanilla orchid, how we propagate that, as I understand it, we take cuttings and they root by themselves because they are an orchid. They are a climbing vine, and it produces air roots, which would sucker onto a tree or something. Really, really intriguing. And I'm looking forward to growing this vanilla orchid to see how it goes. And I'll keep you posted, of course, and see what happens. Right, I'm going to wrap this one up and get this out to you. We'll be back on Thursday, and I don't think we're sowing any seeds on. No, I think we are, actually. But that's all on the way to you at the moment. Well, guys, you take care. I'll speak to you again next time.